How do you answer the issue of the inseparable preposition? Now, folks, for those who don't understand this and you don't know about these arguments, just trust me that when you get into the understanding of the name, someone's going to come to you and they're going to say, how do you answer the issue of the inseparable preposition? So I'm going to help you. I'm getting the question here. I'm going to ask our Hebrew scholar, and he is a Hebrew scholar. Nehemiah, how do you answer that?
So it's interesting. I mean, in a sense, Keith, of all the things we've talked about up until now, this is the only one that's actually a valid question. I mean, this is actually a really legitimate question.
I worked hard for these 12 questions.
No, the other ones are okay. They're questions that people want answers to. But here we have an actual linguistic issue that needs to be addressed.
Okay, excellent.
And I addressed this many years ago, not knowing what I know today. And so I have a much fuller answer and I have a deeper answer here now, more information. But let's first start out with what the issue is here. And guys, this is highly technical, so bear with me. If we had some kind of cute graphics and things, I think people could understand it better, but this is what we got. We're here in the hotel room.
Folks.
All right. So the name Yehovah, the first vowel in that name, is actually called a semi-vowel. It's the shortest vowel in the Hebrew language. It's called a shva. Mm-hmm. And shva has a tendency to drop in certain situations. Mm-hmm. When it's preceded by what's called the inseparable particle, mm-hmm. and there's three of those particles are prepositions, mm-hmm. Kaf, Lam, and Bet. And the vav, which is a conjunction, those four are called particles, and they together form the word vikalev and Caleb. Mm-hmm. In the Jewish grammars, that's how they remember it. So in those four instances, we would expect that the shva and Yehovah would drop, mm-hmm. and that a chirik, an e, would be put in those prepositions,
right.
and particle, those in conjunction, the four particles, the inseparable particles, really they're attached particles. That's what we expect. Instead, what we find is that we have a patach in those four particles. And the patach is what we expect from the word Adonai. Now, what's interesting about the word Adonai is the first letter is an aleph, and the vowel in the preposition or particle is going to be an a patach. So you end up with La Adonai, and that then forms a contraction where the Aleph becomes silent and La Adonai becomes La Donai.
Right.
Okay, beautiful. When we look in the Aleppo Codex, instead of finding what I expect, which is Lehova, I find Lahova. And there's no vowel in the Yud, and that lack of vowel in the Yud actually makes the Yud silent.
Mm-hmm.
And that really does look like the vowels of Adonai.
There it is.
No question about it. Here's the interesting thing. So Samuel David Luzzatto knew the same thing that I know. Mm-hmm. What I just said, he knew all about this. I remember before we saw him say that the vowels are Yehovah, and that was known by tradition, right? Received tradition, meaning this process of transmission, a rabbi to disciple once every 7 years, or twice every 7 years, or however they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew all about this, and he knew about the argument about the inseparable preposition, the inseparable particles. This was actually brought by a rabbi about 500 years ago. And so he's responding to that. And he let me read you what he said, and then I'll explain in plain English what he's saying. He says, the masters of the vowels used to read it Adonai, which nobody disputes, by the way. For we have seen that they vocalize the attached particles, vav, kaf, lam, and bet, with patach and not chirik, meaning with the ah and not the e. Therefore, I say, it's true they intended for the name to be read Adonai, but preserved with this its original vowels. That's actually part of the quote I've brought before, but the fuller context, which were known to them by received tradition. In other words, yes, they put in the ah, so that when you came to read it, you would read it Ladonai. No question about that. No one, we don't have to dispute that in the manuscripts that were available to David Luzzatto, Samuel David Luzzatto. But they also put in the vowels of the name itself. Shvach Olam Kamatz, Yehovah. And why is there no vowel in the Yud? According to Samuel David Luzzatto, because there's no vowel when it has the attached preposition. It's read Lehova. Okay? Are you with me?
Yes.
In other words, he's understanding this as a hybrid. The preposition, and actually certain things following it, that I never hear people talk about that. Maybe they don't know that much Hebrew grammar. There's things before it and after it that match Adonai, but the name itself has its own vowels, which are Yehovah. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just me saying it. These are these rabbis saying it. Yaakov Bachrach, in 1896, on page 132 of his book, he writes, the vowels of the unique name remain with it according to its own pronunciation, whereas the letters before it, meaning these attached particles, which are not wholly like its own letters and vowels. This is a key point. He's saying, look, the name of itself, you can't mess with that. That name is read in the temple as Yehovah, and in the future time it'll be read Yehovah. So you couldn't mess with it. The vowels before and after, look, we got to read it in the synagogue. So we put in the vowels of Adonai before and after it, but not the name itself. We don't dare change those. Now, they do when it's pronounced as Elohim to cue the people how to read it. But in most instances, they leave the name with its own vowels. That's not me explaining. It's these two rabbis. Let me read it again. The vowels of the unique name remain with it according to its own pronunciation, whereas the letters before it, which are not wholly like its own letters and vowels, are vocalized and accentuated according to the pronunciation of the title Adonai. Exactly what I just explained. Now, that is the explanation that anybody could have given, a serious explanation, up until 2 years ago. Now we've got more information, and I call this the B-52 bomber. And the B-52 bomber, before I get to the B-52 bomber, I want to read what Shlomo Morag of Hebrew University wrote. This is one of the great Hebrew grammarians of the 20th century. He says, while it is true that there are forms, the vocalization of which defies explanation, in other words, we look at a word in the Bible, we say that's the wrong vowels, we should not surmise that any form which looks bizarre in its vocalization is necessarily corrupt. Many of these forms are genuine and reflect features of, many of these forms are genuine and reflect ancient features of Hebrew. In other words, you see something really strange in the vowels, and the initial thing is say, oh, we've worked out the rules of grammar. This doesn't fit the rules of grammar. The manuscript has a mistake. Well, like 100 manuscripts have a mistake. Well, no. That actually represents a different dialect of Hebrew than what your grammar is based on. Remember, every grammar of an ancient language, what they did, I explained before, is they sat down, they looked at the vowels, and they said, okay, here's the rules. Here's what's going on. Right? When we have the word Yehuda and it has a preposition, it's Lehuda. When we have the word Yehoshua and there's a preposition, it's Lehoshua. And that's what we expect for Yehovah. Well, that may be in the dialect that that represents, let's say, the Aleppo Codex. But with the B-52 bomber manuscripts, which is now over 150 Bible manuscripts, we actually find something different. And it's really significant because it tells us at least these 150 scribes what they knew the vowels to be of the name. So let's go back to what we expect when there's a preposition. One more time. When there's a lamed before the name, instead of it being Li Yehovah, we expect the shva to fall and to find Lehovah. That's what we expect. Now, I've done some programs, some podcasts about the 12 steps, which are some wonderful, really a wonderful system for, based on Jewish Musar, according to this rabbi I interviewed. Musar is this ethical self-examination, powerful stuff. There's a saying in the 12 steps, an expectation is a premeditated resentment. So you've got these expectations of what you expect the vowels to do, and they don't always do it. Before I get to the B-52, you pointed this out to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. Deuteronomy 32:6 in the Leningrad Codex. Guys, it's easy to look up the Leningrad Codex. Every Bible program, pretty much every Bible program, is based on the Leningrad Codex.
I don't want to interrupt you, Nehemiah.
Yes.
But I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Before you do this, the thing that hit me about the Deuteronomy 32 that you're going to share.
Yeah.
Here's what hit me about it. So I'm looking in the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah.
I'm checking. Are people checking?
No, they're just making statements.
Or are they parroting?
They're parroting. They're parroting.
And my point is...
Because they're not...
And the point was, okay, so...
Sure looks like they're parroting, right.
Okay, so anyway, go ahead with the 32.
Okay, so Deuteronomy 32:6 in the Leningrad Codex has la, ye. Now, there's no vowel in the he, but it has a shva in the yud.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. Our expectation is that the yud drops. The yud has no vowel, and why does it have no vowel? Well, Yehoshua... with the lamed before it becomes Lehoshua. And if it's the vowels of Adonai, well, certainly the aleph of Adonai is silent. That's, nobody disputes that. In fact, let me rephrase that. The Leningrad Codex has it in every instance, and the Aleppo Codex in every instance, when Adonai has this preposition, it's consistently the aleph is silent. Well, so you look in Deuteronomy 32:6, and you find that the yud has a shva in it. Well, that shva can't belong to Adonai because the aleph of Adonai is silent. Now, you were speculating that the yud should have its shva drop. That was your expectation, your premeditated resentment. But with the Adonai, we know that for a fact because we have Adonai with vowels, right? The word Adonai appears over 100 times, several hundred times. And in many instances, it has this preposition, this attached particle. Mm-hmm. So here's the point. Even from Leningrad, Deuteronomy 32:6, you got to scratch your head and say, wait, something's rotten in the state of Denmark. This is supposed to be the vowel of Adonai, but there's a shva in the yud. So what did I find in the B-52 bomber of Hebrew manuscripts? B-52 is actually a manuscript in St. Petersburg. It's EVR2 B-52. It's from around the year 1050, which means it actually predates the Leningrad Codex by 60 years. So you can't say it was copied from the Leningrad Codex. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't copied from the Aleppo Codex because it has a feature here that's profoundly different. Mm-hmm. And in EVR2 B-52, and this is a new discovery, guys. As far as I know, nobody said this before. Nobody's observed this. So in the EVR2 B-52, Yehovah, when it has that preposition, the attached particle, it's La Yehovah. Mm-hmm. Now, we expect it to be Lehovah, but that's not what we find. We got, you know, your grammar is based on what you expect, based on other manuscripts. This represents a different grammar. And what it tells me is this scribe knew that the vowels were Yehovah. And in his dialect of Hebrew, it wasn't Lehovah, it was La Yehovah. Why was La Yehovah? Just like Shlomo Morag said, you know, you see something bizarre, don't assume that that's a mistake. It may go back to an ancient dialect of Hebrew.
That's right.
Hebrew has all kinds of interesting things. I've got a series of these B-52 bomber manuscripts. There's, by the way, what I call the Moab, the mother of all bombs. I'm going to save that for a future study.
Save that for a future study.
EVR2 B-33 is from the 11th century. EVR2 means the second collection in St. Petersburg, Russia, of the Russian National Library. EVR2 B-35, the 11th century. Why am I saying 11th century? That's what the manuscript is from. Many of them are undated, by the way. Mm-hmm. Some of them are. What's interesting is some of them are much later. So this practice of putting in the vowels La Yehovah continued for like 1,000 years. EVR2 B35, 11th century. EVR2 B43, 11th century. EVR2 B90, 11th century. Jerusalem National Library of Israel manuscript 1192 is from the 11th to 12th century. London British Library or 1467. You can go look that up in color on the British Library website. 11th to 12th century. And all these manuscripts and many, many, many others have this, over 150 of these, have this La Yehovah. And here's the bottom line. The Shva and La Yehovah can't be part of Adonai, because the Aleph in Adonai is silent.